Braves, Bulldogs, Falcons, Yellow Jackets, Hawks, Eagles. From the heart of Georgia, it's the Bill Shank Show.
Happy Wednesday and welcome into the Bill Shank Show. Russ Brown with you this afternoon. Bill will be joining us shortly as he can let you in on all the adventures here the past day and a half. We'll be talking sports with you and taking your phone calls. Lauren Smith will join us at 4 o'clock. We'll get his thoughts on Georgia's national championship and take your phone calls. It's a interesting time of year here as we're into the NFL playoffs. I wish the Falcons were a part of it. But, you know, we're not holding our breath there. We're ways away from that. But, you know, the NFL playoffs are coming up this weekend, so we've still got that going on in the football world. But the college football season has come and gone, and as we transition now for some of us into basketball season, I admittedly have a hard time getting into it, but we'll still talk about that. Hawks have a game tonight. Georgia's got a game tonight, so we'll touch on all of that good stuff. But I'm dubbing this a new thing. This is mock draft season. And as Falcons fans, we know we're in a rebuild. We know building through the draft is going to be how this franchise gets turned around, and the sooner the better. And it's they're strapped for cash. They're still up against the salary cap. They're not any really. I mean, a little bit better off than they were last year. I don't think they're going to have to trade somebody in order to sign a draft class, but nonetheless, the cap situation still isn't good. You're not really going to be able to add through free agency. So the draft is going to be the key here. And, of course, the Falcons have three picks in the first two rounds. So a chance to add more talent. Today, Dane Brugler of The Athletic released his mock draft. I'm just going to cut right in the chase here. No beating around the bush. We'll work back towards the top pick. But he's got the Falcons taking David Ajabo, the edge rusher out of Michigan. Ajabo is interesting to me, interesting in that I want to know more about him, not interesting in that, oh, that would be neat if the Falcons got him. I'm not interested in that. If you're going to take an edge guy, you know, the player out of Purdue that's been linked to the Falcons, George Karlaitis, and again, I hope I'm saying his last name correctly, I think would be a more intriguing prospect there. Now, I mean, in the theory that Dean Pease runs a 3-4, Ajabo might be a better fit. But Dean Pease, since he has gotten to Atlanta, hasn't really committed to any style of defense and even has used the term positionless football. Now, most people here are familiar, or maybe not, because he didn't show up. But I've heard the name because he played for Michigan. Of course, Michigan played Georgia in the Orange Bowl. Ajabo disappeared in that game. I remember it was about the second or third series. Because of what I was wanting to do was really pay attention to how the Wolverines were using Aiden Hutchinson, because they like to move him around, and not just to the left side or the right side, all coming off the edge, but they'll move him inside as well. And Ajabo is kind of the Robin, if you will, that would play off of that. He's number 55, and I remember second or third drive of that game, I'm like, where's number 55? So he kind of disappeared in that game, but also in that he kind of came out of nowhere this year. Now, 2020 was an off year for everybody, especially if you played for a Big Ten team, because you only played, you know, five or six games, so that's somewhat understandable. And he would have been a young player in 2019. But that's something I would really want my scouting department to dig into. I'm not saying he's a flash in the pan. The light bulb may have gone off. Maybe he matured physically. I don't know enough about the situation. But guys like that are kind of make me a little bit leery. Now, the players that Dane has coming off the board in front of Ajabo, you've got Kyle Hamilton, the safety out of Notre Dame, going to New York, and that seems to be a pretty popular pick. Charles Cross out of Mississippi State, the offensive lineman, going to the Carolina Panthers. We'll come back to that one. Evan Neal, offensive tackle out of Bama, going to the New York Giants. Then Derek Stingley Jr., corner out of LSU, fourth to the Jets. That's a really trendy pick in a lot of these mock drafts. Then Kayvon Thibodeau slipping down to third, and I say slipping because I think he'll be one of the first two off the board. But going third to Houston, that would be a big get for the Texans. Aiden Hutchinson staying home and going to the Detroit Lions. And the number one pick in this draft for Dane Brugler is Ikem Ekwonu, the offensive lineman out of NC State. So keep an eye on that. He's got Ekwonu as the first tackle off the board. Just to give you the other two picks in this two-round mock that Dane Brugler has the Atlanta Falcons taking, he's got Malik Willis going with the second pick. That would be 43rd, the quarterback out of Liberty. Malik Willis is thought in a lot of circles to have been a first-round pick. I still think he will go in the first round. In this particular mock, Malik Willis is the fourth quarterback to come off the board. I think you'll see more than four quarterbacks go in the first round of the draft. Not saying that, you know, in a vacuum, if you slotted these quarterbacks, they'd be number one picks, but quarterbacks are going to go early in the National Football League. We know that. And then with the 63rd pick, the one the Falcons got from Tennessee, taking David Bell, a receiver out of Purdue, the numbers are there. He had almost 100 catches, I think 93 to be exact, had over 200 yards receiving against Michigan State. And a 6 foot, 205-pound guy, you know, receiver. I'm not sure I would do that either. I mean, yes, the Falcons need receivers. I think the consensus is that they'll be moving on from Calvin Ridley this offseason. Nothing official there. But, you know, you can find talent at the wide receiver position. And this team has so many needs along the lines of scrimmage. I just don't – again, if you get to a place in the draft where you're picking 63rd and the next – offensive lineman or D-edge guy or your interior defensive lineman is like, you know, 78th on your draft board. Yeah, you don't want to reach in that situation, so you're going to take the best player available, and that's what Terry Fontenot says he will do, and that's kind of been his philosophy, and that proved to be true last year. Okay, yeah, you'd say I can understand it in that scenario, but, you know, we'll learn more about that part of the draft as we go along. We'll obviously have a better indication of who could slot where when we get to the combine in Indianapolis. So that's what he's got the Falcons mock to do. And let's just hope it plays out differently. I mentioned that sixth pick with the Carolina Panthers. I would not be surprised if you saw the first quarterback come off the board there. Now, I'm not sure who that quarterback's going to be. If I had to guess right now, I would say Matt Corral, but we still need to learn more about the ankle injury and how serious that injury he suffered in the Sugar Bowl was. Does that hurt his draft stock? And Corral's a guy that, you know, he's got a great arm, don't get me wrong, but that athleticism, he leans on that as well. And if you take that away, he's not the same quarterback. So you kind of have to wait and see what's going on there. And, you know, Kenny Pickett will be in that mix and so on and so forth. So, anyway, that's today's mock draft. We'll have lots of these going along. And I think they're fun to follow because you kind of start to pick up on some consistencies. And the one I mentioned, Derek Stingley, fourth to the New York Jets. Now, I have seen mock drafts with him coming to the Falcons. You know, I don't know about taking a corner that early, but this is a kid that showed up day one ready to play. He is a very talented player. And again, when you have a general manager that's not really thinking in terms of position, but in terms of need, however you want to say it, but best player available, then, you know, you pair him with A.J. Terrell, that'd be a pretty good duo. I was present on the sidelines for Derek Stingley's first game as a collegiate player in Baton Rouge back in 2019, and wow. I mean, he was, you know, I've kind of been alerted to say, watch this kid, he's going to be returning kicks, really talented corner, and he did not look like a freshman. Some other picks of note in this draft that folks might be curious about, and that's the Georgia players. Trayvon Walker is the first one off the board here, 14th to the Baltimore Ravens. And then you scroll down a little bit, and you'll come to, by the way, George Karlaftis. I need to hear somebody on TV say it. 19th to the Eagles. Keep an eye on that. Next Georgia player off the board, 21, N'Kobe Dean to the New England Patriots. Then Jordan Davis, 23rd to the Arizona Cardinals. And I think, let me scroll through here real quick, but I think that was it for Georgia in the first round, according to this mock draft. A couple thoughts on the Georgia players. We had a call about this earlier. You know, you hear a lot of people talk about the Falcons not wanting to draft Falcons players and it'd be a good PR move, or, you know, Terry Fontenot won't have a job if he drafts like that. The Falcons signed a running back as a PR move last year when they brought in Todd Gurley. The team wasn't any good. And so by the end of the year, nobody cared. I mean, the fact that Todd Gurley played at Georgia did nothing for the attendance at a Falcons game. It did nothing for the interest in the Atlanta Falcons. Ernie Johnson said it best, winning's the best promotion. The Falcons need to focus on winning. Now, that being said, there are players here that are there are Georgia players here that could really help the Falcons. Number one on that list for me is N'Kobe Dean. There are some salary cap moves the Falcons could make this year. They could be parting ways with Deion Jones. I think you could plug N'Kobe Dean right in. And other than experience, you don't really lose a beat. I think they're similar players. And in some folks' eyes, they're going to be undersized. But, you know, the speed is there to cover sideline to sideline. N'Kobe Dean's a sure tackler. I think his leadership is what really jumps out to me. And I think that would be somebody to keep an eye on. And then also, too, Jordan Davis. Now, both of those guys are slotted in the 20s here in this mock draft. So, obviously, that would be a reach to take them at 8th. You know, could the Falcons trade back? The move is to always trade back, by the way. But the way this draft is structured, that may be tough to do. Because it seems like while there's a lot of talent in this draft, I don't know that there's a lot of top-end talent. So, those guys sitting in the teens are, you know, everybody kind of jokes during the season, the Falcons need to lose because they need draft picks. From a value standpoint, it may have been better to win a couple games this year and to get back into the teens. But, I mean, if they can find a partner and trade back, that might be a possibility. And you, with Deion Jones and possibly Grady Jarrett being guys you could trade this offseason, you know, that might make that a little bit easier to do. And obviously, if Grady Jarrett were to get dealt and the Falcons could come back, I mean, Jordan Davis is a guy that would, I think he's, you know, at 6'6", 360, he fits any defense. He can play the one in a four-man front. He can line up over the center, theoretically, in a three-man. Whatever you want to do with somebody that big and that athletic. And, I mean, ideally, I would like to see the Falcons pair him with Grady Jarrett if that were to be the pick. I think having that kind of size in on the interior would be absolutely incredible. But, you know, we'll just have to wait and see how all of that plays out. You know, there's some second-round guys that could be around that Falcons pick. Some people have mentioned George Pickens. He's 39th to Chicago here in this mock draft with the Falcons picking 43rd. Again, I'm not interested in taking a wide receiver in the second round. And, frankly, I'm not interested in taking a wide receiver that has had some issues in college. I mean, for somebody like George Pickens, I need to know that he's grown up. The talent is there. There's no question about it. But you know what? You look at the team right now. You take Calvin Ridley, Julio Jones out of the equation. You know, the offensive line was worse. The defensive line was worse. They won more games. There wasn't any difference. And I just think until you have the interior of a football team taken care of, you know, especially the receiver position, I mean, that's the last thing you add to a football team, in my opinion. And I just – you know, you look at Tom Brady's 20-year career. He had Randy Moss for a little while. He's got Mike Evans now. But for the most part, they didn't need elite receivers. He had some elite tight ends, but they didn't need elite wide receivers. They needed, you know, to know how to attack a defense's weakness, guys that could catch a football and run routes and just let Tom Brady's brain do the rest. So, that's one that a lot of people have thrown out there. Again, with the position and the history, I'm not too sure about that. And but, you know, there's no doubt there are some Lewis Cine, you know, that if you want to talk about taking a player from Georgia that would help the Falcons in the second round. I mean, in this mock draft, he's 57th to the 49ers. The Falcons pick 63rd. Yes, all day long. Give me that guy. Physical, a tone setter. You don't see guys like that very often in football anymore. And that would be a great ad. But it's mock draft season, and I know Mel Kiper released his earlier today. I don't do the ESPN Plus thing, so if you have a subscription, you can go check that out. I think he had Aiden Hutchinson as his number one overall pick. So it's upon us. And, we're in the midst of the NFL playoffs, of course. Super Bowl's a little bit less than a month away, and then we'll look up, and it'll be time for the Combine in Indy. That's going to be in late February, early March, and the draft will be here before you know it. And once again, our Falcons are right in the midst of it, and hopefully they'll have can just continue to add talent. It's not going to come through free agency. They don't have any cash. They can free up some cap space with some trades, but the rebuild of this roster is going to have to come through the NFL draft, and we've known that all along. So, you know, just have to put our faith and trust in Terry Fontenot and that scouting department that they can continue to go find talent. And the Falcons can build off of year one under Arthur Smith. All right, moving on to the NBA now. The Hawks are in action tonight against the Minnesota Timberwolves. The T-Wolves knocked off the New York Knicks last night. 112 to 110 was the final score. And Karl Anthony Towns, as you would imagine, a big night for the Timberwolves. He had 20 points in the game. That's who the foul. I'm going to get these teams right eventually. That's who the Hawks are going to have to deal with tonight as the T-Wolves come to town. They are playing on a back-to-back. They were in New York last night, so that could help, or should help, really, the Atlanta Hawks in this contest. And Minnesota is a good team. They are 22-22 on the season. They just beat the New York Knicks in Madison Square Garden last night. You know, we know Karl Anthony Towns, how talented he is. Anthony Edwards, of course, we know how talented he is. So, you know, they've got some guys on this team that can play, and it's going to be a challenge for the Atlanta Hawks tonight. But I just really think and hope that coming off that win on Monday against the Milwaukee Bucks, where pretty much everybody for the Bucks played, I think, except Chris Middleton. I mean, that was Milwaukee, and that was a big win for the Atlanta Hawks. Now, can you build off of that? And that's what they'll be trying to do tonight. Tip-off will be a little bit after 7:30. We'll have it for you here on the Superstations and kind of stick with it as long as we can. Georgia's got a game that'll tip off around 9 o'clock. So, you know, we'll hang with it as long as we can. Yeah, hopefully the Hawks go about 30 and we don't even have to worry about it. But I just think a real opportunity for the Hawks to kind of show people that they've got their season turned around. And you know, obviously disappointment in that Cam Reddish trade, but you know what? If that was kind of the guy that was messing up the chemistry in the locker room and that part of it's been fixed, then, you know, it is what it is, addition by subtraction. I hope that's not the case because I'm a Cam Reddish fan, but at the end of the day, I want the Atlanta Hawks to win. And if that's what they needed to do to get the chemistry right, then so be it. I mean, look, the guy didn't want to be here. So you got to make that trade if you're Travis Schlenk, and he got a first-round pick for it. And also keep an eye on the ticker as we head towards the NBA trade deadline, because a lot of people around the league feel like it's not if the Atlanta Hawks make another trade, but when the Atlanta Hawks make another trade. And that first-round pick is going to help facilitate that. So keep an eye on that as well. But the Hawks and the T-Wolves tonight, tip-off will be just after 7:30 right here on the Superstation. So we mentioned Georgia. They are in action tonight against the Auburn Tigers. It's Auburn might be the best team in the country right now. I know they're ranked second. Duke lost last night. I did see Joe Lunardi and had Auburn is the number one overall seed in their bracketology, and we know the deal for the Bulldogs. It just seems like we're waiting on the day that Tom Crean gets fired at this point. I don't know that they're going to be able to turn this thing around. I think the Vegas has the Bulldogs as a 21.5-point underdog in this game, which I don't bet, but that seems like a really big spread for a basketball game. The matchup predictor, for whatever that's worth, the little statistical formula ESPN uses to predict games, gives Georgia a 2% chance of winning going in. So, long story short, the Bulldogs are going to have their hands full tonight. They're 5-12 on the season, 0-4 in the SEC. Auburn 16-1, 5-0 in SEC play. And again, by all accounts, probably the best team in college basketball right now. And then, of course, at 7 o'clock, you've got the Yellow Jackets and the Demon Deacons. Georgia Tech's at McCamish. They're kind of in the same boat. I mean, it's go time. You know, same boat as the Hawks anyway. It's go time. I mean, they're 1-5 in conference play. If you're going to do something, you got to do it now. Wake Forest is a tough opponent. They've got 14 wins so far on the season and just having a solid year. You know, I would say that the Deacs are a slight favorite in this contest, but it's a home game for the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets. And really, you know, I guess technically it would be an upset if Georgia Tech won, but if you're going to do something with your season, these are the type of games you're supposed to win. You're at home. That's a pretty even matchup. You know, going back to the matchup indicator, I think they give the Yellow Jackets like a 40% chance to win. But on your home floor, these are the games you have to find a way to win, especially when you put yourself in an 0-5 hole coming out of the gate in conference play as the Yellow Jackets did. So that's what's going on the hardwood. I wish these basketball teams were better. The Mercer Bears are the only college basketball team in the state with a winning record in conference play and overall. And they've got a big one at East Tennessee coming up. But, yeah, I wish these college basketball teams were better. I wish there was more interest. But we have this conversation every year. And it's just after, you know, doing this for 10 years, having this conversation anyway for 10 years, it just you kind of start to feel like a broken record. And, you know, we've said this a million times, for the interest to be there, it's going to have to come from Georgia and Georgia Tech. Georgia State's had good years. Mercer's had good years. That's great for us here in Middle Georgia when Mercer had the year they had. We all enjoyed the heck out of that. The folks up in Metro Atlanta, I'm sure they enjoyed Georgia State's run, but it didn't capture the attention of the entire state. And that's what you'd like to see happen. We'll take a break. Back with more of the Bill Shank Show as we will talk some more sports right after this.
Sports Talk for Macon and Warner Robins on 93.1 FM, the Superstations.